The opinions expressed by the interviewees on the Upfront and the Prophetic radio show and those providing comments are theirs alone and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Upfront and the Prophetic radio show or any employee thereof. Upfront and the Prophetic radio show is not responsible for the accuracy of any of the information supplied by the interviewees.
Welcome to Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. Your hosts, Alan and Francine Fosdick, invite you to tune in to Upfront in the Prophetic every week, where it's natural living in the supernatural, and where the true prophetic is off the chain and right on. Alan and Francine are anointed prophetic ministers of the gospel who are raising up a supernatural generation for an end-time army of believers to establish and advance the kingdom of God with love, signs and wonders, miracles and prophetic abilities, which are needed for the last day harvest. Be prepared to call in with your questions and be ready to chat with their special guests from around the world. Their hunger and thirst for Jesus is radically infectious. Please join us now live with Alan and Francine on this edition of Upfront in the Prophetic. Catch the fire.
Incredible.
Everyone, welcome to Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. That's POPPM.org. We like to say pop them with the Holy Ghost. Hey, we're here tonight with my husband, Alan. We've got Susan East, Jeff Newcomer. Our special guest, praise be to God, is Floyd Acord, as well as Byron Sweer. Praise be to God. You know, it was just amazing when Susan had shared with us that you all were going to be in town. And, you know, honestly, I have to say that I truly believe that God is bringing people to the forefront, like you were saying, shucking the wheat, you know, just separating and just bringing those that have a heart and a true passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ and making an impact. And I see that in your ministry and just reading a little bit about that, Floyd, Dr. Floyd. Can I call you Dr. Floyd?
Call
praise
me,
God. All righty, huh? Just not late for supper, huh?
Yeah.
Amen. Just a little bit about what I've read, and I tell you, we've been in revival here in Hagerstown, Maryland. I mean, the house is rocking. JC is definitely in the house. And, you know, I mean, just the words are powerful because it's the true word of God, untainted. I absolutely love it. I love the fire that you bring. Praise be to God. It's about time. Hallelujah, huh? You know, there's just so much co-mingling these days. And my Lord, have mercy. But, you know, you were mentored under author Hensley. You know, I really didn't hear that much about him. Tell me a little bit about that mentoring.
There were 7 tent masters in the 50s and 60s, and or mid-70s, up to the mid-70s. A. Allen, Jack Cole, William Branham, Chester Hensley, Oral Roberts, R.W. Shambach, Catherine Kuhlman.
Mm-hmm.
And my pastor's tent was 10 yards wider and 20 yards longer than a football field.
Mm. Mm.
It was phenomenal. I got to see it up one time in Houston and was hooked on tent crusades. I've done tent crusades all over Mexico and America. And Brother Hensley and William Branham, there were actually 3 prophets, Pop Bennett, William Branham, and Chester Hensley, for the UPC, the United Pentecostal Organization. And when I came to God, I was—you've heard my testimony. In order,
and we're gonna have you share it. You ain't gonna get away without that. That's powerful.
I'd love to. But God found me, you know, called me and saved me. I was under Brother Hensley's ministry for 3.5 years. One day we were having a work day at the church, and there was 3 men standing there, and we were all talking. Brother Hensley and 3 other men. And he asked the one elder, what do you think is going to happen? And he told what he thought, and he asked the other elder, and he called me Hoss. And he said, "Hoss, what do you think?" And it took me forever to pick my head up and look at him, but I said, Holy Ghost just seemed like it was 4 foot thick on me. But God used me to prophesy, and I said, December shall not fade away, and January shall not be ushered in, save the death angel touch the sanctuary in the greatest of form and fashion. We were having some troubles with some elders. You know, you always do in a church. There's always something to be worked out. And I thought God was going to move in that area. And instead, what happened was at 3:40 in the morning on January the 1st, the last night of December had not broke with new day. The first day of January had not seen the light of day, just like the Lord had spoke to me, that December should not fade away and January should not be ushered in, say the death angel touched the sanctuary. At 3:40 in the morning, Brother Hensley breathed his last, went home to be with God. It catapulted me. 6 months after I got in church, I preached my first message. And 3.5 years later, Brother Hensley passed, and I started getting out, but I went full time. And 34 years later, I'm still full time.
Praise God. We thank God for that, absolutely. And it hasn't always been like that in ministry. I mean, you've, like you said, been in ministry for over 34 years. But when you, in your family, I mean, you came from a rough background.
To say the least.
Well, tell us a little bit about it and how you came to really know the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, because there are some listeners out there right now that may be in the same situation that you were many years ago and just trying to find that hope, you know.
I'm not out to embarrass anybody, so allow me just to call the man that I want to talk about, the long hair, instead of his name. Because if I said his name on your program, I'm pretty sure everybody listening would know who he is. And like I said, I don't want to embarrass anybody or hurt anybody. So, okay. A long time ago, I had a good friend. He was my very best friend. I went nowheres without him, and he went nowheres without me. I didn't trust anybody but him, and he didn't trust anybody but me. And one night, he was selling this long-haired friend of mine. He had hair down past his waist. And rode with the Hells Angels and the Banditos. He was in organized crime. He was being groomed to be a cleaner. And that's somebody that they call in to put out certain hits on government officials to clean up a mess. He'd never pulled a trigger on anybody, but that's what he was being groomed to do. He was in organized crime. And he sold 4 hits of mescaline, which is an hallucinogenic and a number 3 cap, to an 11-year-old kid. And the kid OD'd. And about 3:30 in the morning, this long-haired friend got a phone call, and on the other end, the voice said, "Are you so-and-so, so-and-so's mother?" She said, "Yes, I am." And the man said, "Want you to hear something. I'm sorry for my voice, but like you said, we're in revival." And it's
all.
But
fine.
He stuck the phone inside this room, and this kid was climbing the walls, ODing on drugs that her boy had sold him. And when he got back on the phone, the woman said, "What have you done to that child?" She could tell from the screams it was just a little kid. And the man said, "You're right and you're wrong. It's just a child. He's ODing on drugs that your boy sold him. I haven't done anything to him. He's ODing on the lifestyle of your son. You tell your son there's a man looking for him. It's got a .38 slug with his initial on it, and I'm going to kill him graveyard dead." I searched and searched and searched through friends of mine to help this long hair, you know, with his situation, and nothing. The harder the long hair looked for this guy, the scareder he got. And if he would have found him, he would probably have been in Leavenworth tonight. But he, like I said, he got more afraid and more afraid and more afraid. And what he didn't realize then was it was the fear of the Lord coming upon him. It was the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And he went offshore. Make a long story short, called in for a helper. Helper came out to help him. And the long hair watched this helper for 3 days, because everything the helper did, he paused before he ate. He paused before he went to bed. He paused before he went to work. Long hair didn't know anything about what any other type of lifestyle than what he knew. His mother was a practicing witch. His father was president and founder of the Lakeside Jousters. His uncle was sergeant of the arms of the San Diego chapter of the Hells Angels.
Hmm.
And he himself was in organized crime. He grew up in this lifestyle.
He knew no better.
He knew no better. I mean, absolutely, mm-hmm. that is correct. He absolutely knew no better. And it was a way of life to him. It was he got up getting high and went to bed getting high. You know, it was just something he did. And 3 days after this helper came to help him, they were moving 8-inch heavy wall pipe into place, and he dropped it on his foot, a little section of pipe. And the only thing that came out of his mouth was, Jesus.
Wow.
And the long hair had 1,000 questions for him. He said, hey, I know what he is. He's one of those Jesus freaks. And so he walked up and asked him, are you one of those Jesus freaks? And the helper said, well, if loving God and wanting to do something for God makes you a freak, I guess I am. And the long hair had 1,000 questions for him. And what sold him on what he had was he never said, I think, I believe. Seminar taught me, my pastor said.
Mm.
Never, not one time. He'd take out that Collins Old and New Testament pocket Bible, and he'd say, just a minute. He'd flip over to the answer, and he'd say, the Word of God says, and he'd read him the answer. And he'd ask him something else. He'd say, just a minute. He'd flip over and read him the answer. So what they did was they started a 12-hour-a-day Bible study that was being paid for by the world. And they'd tack up a dozen whales, and the long-haired went and got an apple crate from the galley and set this helper on his apple crate behind him. And while he was welding, doing the work, the helper would sit there and, well, what about this? And the helper would say, just a minute. He'd flip over to the answer, read him the word.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And little did the long hair know, but 12 hours a day for the next 9 weeks, they was having Bible study.
Mm-hmm. My Lord.
So one night, the helper's laying in his bunk and the long hair's laying in his, and they were talking about the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. You got to understand that the long hair was smoking an ounce of dope a week and at least three packs of cigarettes a day. And he reached for a cigarette, stuck it in his mouth, and reached for the lighter. And he had just asked the helper, how do you know you've got the Holy Ghost? And the helper said, well, as he was flipping over to Acts 2:38, he was going to start and repent, be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he was going to layer the foundation from there, how you know. But while he was flipping over there, he said, the best way I can tell you is you don't want to do no wrong. You will do wrong. You will fall short of the glory of God. You will make mistakes. You will sin. But you don't want to. And so the long hair put that cigarette in his mouth and reached for the lighter. And he heard this voice tell him, don't like that until morning. You'll never want another one for as long as you have breath. Now, this long hair was not about to tell his helper, I'm hearing voices.
Exactly.
But he didn't know nothing about God, you know. So he took the cigarette out, and he kind of listened to the helper for a minute, slid it back in the pack, and the helper noticed it, and he asked him, he said, ain't you going to like that? He just changed the subject, because he wasn't about to tell that helper, look, man, I'm hearing voices, man, something ain't right. So the next morning, the long hair, all he had ever had for breakfast was 7 or 8 cigarettes and 5 or 6 cups of coffee. He went out, braided his hair, stuck it down in his shirt, ate a big breakfast, went and fired up his welding machine, worked till noon, never lit a cigarette, never reached for one. And the helper walked up to him while they was washing up for lunch and said, don't you notice anything different? He said, no. And he said, you hadn't lit a cigarette all day today. And since last night's Bible study, you haven't lit one. Well, then the long hair got to crying, and that wasn't cool, you know. trained by a bunch of burnout mercenaries, and now you're going to start weeping? So he walked down on the second deck, and he was drinking a cup of coffee, and got through with his coffee, and he threw the cup in the ocean, and he had a pocket full of welding rods, and he was trying to hit that cup with the welding rod. And the wind would blow it one way, and the waves another, and the current another way, and that cup wasn't going nowhere. So he was just steadily throwing welding rods at this cup. So the helper came down and asked him what was wrong, because he was still crying, and that wasn't cool. And he said, "You see that cup down there?" He said, "Yep." He said, "That's me." And the helper said, "What do you mean that's you?" He said, "You see how the wind blows it one way and the current another and the wave flops the other way?" "Yeah, that's been me all my life, never knowing anything about solid ground, just lost on a sea of unrighteousness." Goosebumps hit him. He thought he was coming down sick. 3 days he walked in the goosebumps. Third day they were talking about signs and wonders following them that believe. So he said this simple prayer: "Lord, this man's telling me about signs and wonders that follow them that believe. I believe. I don't know if I'm believing right, but I believe. Maybe you got some little something in all that you are just for me, that I'll know it's God dealing with me and not flashbacks from the drugs. You know that fire that starts on the beginning of Bonanza?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It burned out into his hood, and he said, long hair, his testimony is, there was a man in a white suit that walked through the doors, and through a set of doors with red curtains, walked up to him, pulled off a pair of glasses, cocked his head sideways, the vision closed up, he was still welding a piece of pipe, picked up his hood, grabbed another rod, started back up again, and he said this prayer: "Why me, Lord? Why don't you give this to a preacher, saying a Christian, somebody truly worthy? Why are you doing this to me? Mm-hmm. I'm a burnout motorcycle drug addict. Why me? After every commandment you've given me, I've broken them all at least 10 times a score. Why are you doing this to me?" And a voice spoke to that long hair and said, "For all I have a reason, for you I have a purpose. Speak with the man named Chester Arthur Hensley, for he has a message for thee." He picked up the welding hood, started to grab another rod, and the helper tapped him on the shoulder and said, "What'd you say?" And when the long hair turned and looked at him, the helper started speaking in tongues, started weeping, and long hair thought he'd found him some drugs, because he didn't know nothing about no drum talking or no dancing. And the guy I'm talking about was the helper was a bodybuilder. He was much of a man. And he said, "Man, what is..." The long hair said, "What's wrong with you, man? Why do you do that? And that speaking in tongue thing, man, it just freaks me out." And he said, "Why'd you do that?" And the helper said, "I wish you could see your face. It's as white as snow on a mountain peak, and your eyes sparkle like stars. Please tell me what you said." He heard the audible voice, but he couldn't make out the words, because the long hair looked at him and said, "I didn't say a word, not one word." Now, a lot of people on your program might say, number one, God don't speak audibly anymore. Number two, he doesn't give visions anymore. Number three, if he did, it wouldn't be to a burnout individual like you're talking about, this long hair that was in organized crime with a practicing witch for a mother, a father that's in a bike group, a uncle that's in a bike group, a sister that was a witch, a brother that was an atheist. I mean, he was lost. This long hair was lost. God ain't going to do that. 34 years ago, May of this year, I was the long hair. And I picked Brother Hensley out of a crowd, walked up to him and said, "You be Chester Arthur Hensley?" He pulled those glasses off just like in the vision. And he said, "You've had a divine phenomenon from God. Tell me about it." And one of the tent masters, Brother Hensley, was my pastor. And I loved him with all my heart. Love him still. He taught me much. And shortly before he died, I went to a mountain just outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and prayed and fasted and sought God 40 days and 40 nights. angel of the Lord visited me there, gave me most of what I'm preaching today. Can't thank God enough for my background, even my mother. And I'm happy to report, by the way, tonight that my mother is a tongue-talking, born-again, spirit-filled woman of God. My sister is. Both of my brothers are. My older brother had a phenomenal thing happen in his life. He's no longer a pronounced atheist. It's awesome what God has done in our family, and I'm ever so thankful. My mother was very accurate with tarot cards.
Really?
Very accurate. And she read them against me. She said she had told a family member, she said, this is just the phase he's going through. It won't last 6 months, according to the cards. And 34 years later, I'm still going through the phase.
How soon after did she come to the Lord?
Mama's been saved, I think, about 16, 17 years, something like that. I was just at her church and spoke in southeast Texas. What was it, 2 weeks ago?
Amen.
3 weeks ago. I left there to come here.
Okay, so she has a church. Bless God, amen, huh? I'm excited.
Wow. Awesome movement, too. I mean, they got something going on down there.
The Holy Ghost is alive and well, huh?
Boy, how
oh, praise God. And
well,
that,
we got it going on here, too, now.
Amen.
Little autistic boys talking over 20 and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, feet have been healed, you name it. I mean, come on. The blind lady.
Yeah.
First rattle out of the box, first night, right eye, totally blind. Yeah. Now she totally sees.
I mean, you're seeing that all the time.
We've had several blind eyes healed, deaf and dumb and heard and talk, crippled and walk. And I'd like to tell everybody that's listening, I have no gimmick, no game, no hook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the untouched, untamed, unadulterated word of God. If God can't do it, I don't want any part of it, you know.
And, that's so refreshing. Oh, my gosh.
Know.
You know, it's
we got to get real.
Yeah. We have to.
We have to get back to the place of being real.
Amen. You know, well, you're talking about the blood of the Lamb, you know, the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's just too many games out there right now about me, myself, and I, and look what I can do, and forth, you know, and it's just heartbreaking, and to come and to hear you minister and to hear you sing, Byron. Woo, Jesus, I tell you. Oh, I do see. I mean, when he said TV, I was like, oh, yes, all the way. Praise God. Hey, and when you hear him sing, you're going to say, whoa, I'm in agreement with that. But it is refreshing, you know, because we've heard about the commingling of, I mean, what is that one
strange
thing?
Strange fire, the mixture.
Yeah.
People are, you know, they're in the world, and then a week later they're in the pulpit preaching, and they haven't gotten delivered from that thing that they brought in with them. We see it seems like all over the body of Christ right now. There's there's a strange fire, and there's a purifying coming, and we're in that purifying. You know, either you know going to get there, or you're going to. Now they have they even have people preaching the Quran and the Bible in the same pulpit.
Yeah.
What apostasy.
Exactly. I mean, I can recall you talking about 2 Timothy 3, I believe it is, when you were talking about the end times of what you're going to see, you know, be exemplified in regards to, or magnified, I should say, the strange fire. I don't think that's in there, but the lust, you know, and be a lovers of self and so forth.
Right.
You know.
But you get down to the 14th verse of the 3rd chapter, 2 Timothy, and it said, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learnt and hast been assured of. And it's not going to work anymore.
Right.
God's raising up, just like he did, you know, I appreciate Catholics got the Holy Ghost and started a movement called the Charismatic Movement.
Mm-hmm.
And the pendulum of God swung from the extreme right to the extreme left. You know, it went from white wall haircuts, no gold, no jewelry, top knots. You know, they call them beehives. I call them hornets.
Yeah.
And then it went from that two, loosey-goosey, name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it, stab it, and jab it. Woo, look at my goosebumps, and didn't we dance for that?
Exactly. You know, and, but were you changed?
But yeah,
you know?
But here's what the deal was. They didn't have any prophets. They didn't have any apostolic power to raise them up in a way. And then they started, you know, then God started raising up phenomenal teachers in that movement. Well, now that plumb line is coming back to plumb. Mm-hmm. And what I'm witnessing, and I preach for all of them. I preach for Baptists, Charismatics, Pentecost, Apostolics, you name it. I think I've preached for them. And I get return visits, by the way. They ask me.
Wow.
And yeah, that's really why. And because I don't touch any doctrine. I really don't. The three basic messages I preach is deliverance, salvation, exhortation. Get you exhorted, healed to God, you know.
Amen.
And because that's my job. I'm not a pastor. I'm an evangelist with a prophetic.
Revivalist.
Yeah, with a prophetic ministry.
Amen.
You know, I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I've got a full plate trying to cover the bases of what God has called me to be, anointed me to be, and what He's commissioned me to do.
Amen.
And what we're seeing all over the world is not only does people have to change, they're wanting to change.
Yeah.
Because it's not working.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
You know, you can confess all you want to. I'm seeing a whole lot of confession, but not a whole lot of possession.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've got to do is they've got to get to a place where they get the anointing, because it's the anointing is the only thing that destroys the yoke.
Yeah.
And there's only one way to get more anointing. And if you're stagnated, there was a writer that said, standing waters can only gather filth, and the idle bird is the fowler's mark. You know, you don't get to come to God and you sit there. It's a constant climb. The mountain of God is onward and upward. He didn't say it was smooth and level. He said it was onward and upward. We got to continue climbing. And what we're finding is with people all over the world, they're screaming it.
Yeah.
Man, there's more to this than what we got, and we want it.
It's got to be something more than
that. And it won't work anymore. You know, the church of old, it just won't. You're gonna
old wineskin.
Exactly. I think Christ put it this way. After one of the greatest movements he had, he said, get on a boat and go to the other side. Why? There's folks over there possessed that are screaming, free me.
Exactly.
Set me free. Well, what's going to do that? The anointing's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
New authority, amen, coupled rightly with new responsibility, produces a new and greater anointing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get it any other way. You got to have the authority, and you got to be responsible. Well, everybody wants the authority to walk through walls, but nobody wants to pray or fast.
Yeah,
read the word.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'll just turn the TV on and get it from there. Well, no, you won't. You know, I do a lot of television evangelizing, but man, you got to have a home church. Faith comes by hearing. Mm-hmm. Hearing by, well, I didn't hear that. No, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. What do we do with that scripture? That's as much a commandment as, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal.
Mm-hmm.
You
that
know?
Was a good point you brought up.
You know, that,
absolutely.
That's got to be our focal point again is, We're coming together for one Lord, one faith, one baptism, to be one bride for one God.
Mm-hmm.
People starting to scream that all over the world. That's just not Brother Acord teaching that or believing that. But people are starting to wake up and say, hey, there's more to it. Let's get it. You know, let's
Amen.
Get to stepping and get it done.
Well, you know, we've heard of the other revivals that have happened, the Azusa Street, you know, the Jesus movement. But I believe, you know, that they only lasted a certain amount of time. What are you seeing in regards to the revival that's happening now? I mean, it's starting in this church. You know, the flicker becomes a flame that becomes, you know, overpowering and is not able to be quenched. You know, it can't be taken out. So how can we keep that flame going?
The Lord gave me the name of my ministry, the Last Day Revival Ministries, in 1977, shortly after I got, well, it was towards the end of the year of 77 when I came to him in May of 1977. And all along the way, he's been good to show me about what he wants to do in end time revival. And I asked him once, really sought him hard on how it's going to start, how it's going to flourish, you know. Because let's face it, different denominations won't hug necks with different denominations.
Sadly.
They will carry it so far, mm-hmm. and that's it. But I think the Apostle Paul said, how can the eye say to the hand, I have no need of thee, simply because you don't do what I do.
Right.
You don't believe it like I believe it. You don't teach it like I believe it. I thought we were all serving the same God, striving for the same destination, heaven bound. Well, we're going to have to come together at some point and fulfill the fourth chapter of Malachi, where it says he will turn the hearts of the fathers and the mothers back to the sons and the daughters, mm-hmm. and the hearts of the sons and the daughters back to the mother and fathers. That is the movement of the end time revival. And what we have to do is we have to come together for one reason, one cause, one purpose.
Come on.
And that's to lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'd draw men to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're not lifting up Christ in the profession of who Christ is, you're never going to draw all men to you, you know, or see all men draw to him.
Right.
It's not going to happen. You know, so when he gave, I asked him for the vision of the last day revival movement. I said, Father, show me. Just you're good to show me things. Show me how it's going to happen. And I never will forget it. It was a 39th day of a 40-day fast, and I was fasting for something completely different. And I heard what I thought was a train coming through my house.
Mm.
I really did. I thought somehow, some way, somebody's going to lay some railroad tracks, put this thing on course, and this fix would come right through my house. It was such a roar. And I laid on the floor on my face, grabbed my face, began to weep. And when I looked up, the wall disappeared. And what I saw was the earth, but it had no trees, no houses, no cars, no nothing. It was dirt as far as you could see, dirt. And coming up over the, and what I saw, I'd see, you know, three or four people over here in a little group, and four or five over here, and back over here there was two or three, just little clumps of people in areas. And coming up over the horizon of the crest of the earth was the biggest tornado I had ever even imagined in my life. And when it would get to those people, I saw nail-scarred hands reach out of the tornado and grab people and say, grab hold of these nail-scarred hands, and he would throw them up into the tornado. And I said, Father, what are you showing me? He said, when nothing else matters but revival, revival will come.
Wow.
And it's coming with power.
You know,
unadulterated power. I want to say that again. Untouched, untamed, unadulterated power. You know, I've quoted the scripture many times, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I'm telling you, that tornado that's coming, the storm that's coming, it's God sent, God ordained, God anointed, God commissioned. Ain't no man dreamed it up, and there ain't no man that can contain it or rule it. So the pastors, what they have to do is get on their face and say, Father God, send us a movement of your spirit. I don't care if you're Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist. I don't care. If you've had enough, all you got to do is say, enough's enough. And get out of the way and let God be God. You know, a lot of pastors are scared. They really are. They're worried. You know, it took me a long time to build this. I let an evangelist in here. Blah, 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 blah.
He wrecked the whole thing.
Hey, I think...
Then he started prophesying.
I think the scripture said he put some in the church first, apostles, then prophets, and teachers, pastors, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. When you start taking those offices out, any of them,
mm-hmm.
what you've done is crippled the possibility of your people ever being perfected.
Yes.
We can't do that. We got to get the movement of what he organized, what he put together for the perfecting of the saints. if we will do that as a body, number one, the church is going to get perfected. I thought he said he's coming back after a perfected bride. Well, if the church gets perfected, we're out of here. Right. You don't like the economics? Let's change them. Let's go home to heaven. you know, I mean, I'm just silly enough to believe that. People have to get on their face, and they have to believe that God wants to do something, because he really does. You know, he's not coming back after the bride in the shape it's in.
No.
The Bible was very clear about it. It said, I'm coming back after a bride without spot or without wrinkle. Well, that tells me something, you know. Number one, it's going to be spotted and it's going to be wrinkled.
Mm-hmm.
But, or he wouldn't have said what he said.
Right. Yeah.
I'm coming back after a bride without spot or without wrinkle. Well, if it's going to be spotted and wrinkled, somebody's going to have to do some washing. Somebody's going to have to do some ironing.
That's good.
And if they get that nailed down and we get perfected, I think that's what he's coming back after, according to Scripture.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Could you explain to the listeners the Scripture the Lord gave you to show the fivefold ministry in the Old Testament?
Genesis 15:9 says, bring unto me a heifer of 3 years of age, a ram of 3 years of age, a she-goat of 3 years of age, a pigeon and a turtle dove. The unknown wayfaring way of the heifer is that of the apostle, going where no other beast has gone before, leaving a path for others to follow. The battering force of the ram, that of the prophet, tearing down walls of tradition. The she-goat is that of the pastor, giving milk to the kids. The cooing voice of the pigeon is that of the teacher, rightly dividing truth. And the darting flight of the dove is that of the evangelist as he darts in and delivers the word and darts out.
And that's going back to exactly what you said. If the church would bring them all back together, working in unity, you know, then you've got
and
something going on.
It doesn't stop there. 3 years of age. That's the year of reproduction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't start reproducing until the third year.
Mm-hmm.
It also, a threefold cord is not easily broken. It also is the third dimension of God. The first dimension is by faith. The second dimension is by faith, F-A-I-T-H. The third dimension is prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get it back in the church.
Yeah. We really do.
We got to get it back in the church. I don't know where to go with that, but I'm telling you, we have to.
Yeah.
It's not a if, it's when are we going to allow God to work through us and get it done.
Exactly.
We need the true prophetic, not the pathetic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like that.
None of the foo-foo stuff that's been going on. Absolutely. You know, it just draws me back again to all that you're saying, and the power of it is that He is drawing us to Him and Him alone, not depending on the government, not depending on man, not depending on your work situation, but Him and Him alone. You know, you talked about faith, and, you know, someone had mentioned, oh, gosh, I'm in fear that I was going to lose our home and lose this. My gosh. You know, I mean, God is the one in control. I mean, go ahead, come on now.
I want to hear more about that. But I don't know if you were here or not, but I preached a message just the other night about fear. If you built a house and you haven't dedicated it, go home.
Yeah.
You're afraid somebody else is going to get it, go home.
Go home, that's right.
If you planted a vineyard and have not yet partaken of the fruit of it, and you're afraid somebody else is going to get, go home.
Yeah.
If you've married a wife and have not yet taken her, and you're afraid someone else is going to take her, go home.
Exactly.
Lest your heart faint as the one carrying the spirit of fear, their heart faint. And I told the church, I said, fear, it not only migrates, it antagonates.
Mm-hmm.
But it mutates.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
Fear brings an amoeba that it never quits splitting. And those amoebas have amoebas in them that they're contagious. And so what we're doing is, you know, scared people will spread that fear and infect anybody and everybody they come in. Well, if you're that afraid, go home.
Go home.
Why? Well, Scripture there tells me to go home, number one. But number two, God didn't give me a spirit of fear.
That's right.
He gave me a spirit of power and love and a sound mind.
Yes.
Well, there's that threefold cord again. You know, number one, that prophetic thing of God. And if he gave me power and love, there ain't nothing bigger than love, because I think somewhere in there says God's love. Well, he not only dwells with me, but yea, within me.
Amen.
Jesus said, when I go away, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll send unto you the Comforter called the Holy Ghost.
Thank you,
Holy and he'll
Ghost.
Not only dwell with you, but yea, within you.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, what are we going to do? Are we going to keep having, it's not even church anymore. Yeah. I mean, study church history. It's not even church. It's not even church anymore. What we're offering, it's a social event.
Oh my gosh! All the programs
and my God, don't get out of the program, because after all, you know, you're gonna get it messed up, and the roast is gonna burn. by noon. Bless God. You know, we got to get back into a movement of God and getting away from a movement of flesh.
Oh, you know,
it's not that I'm downrating the church. I'm just saying I know God's got so much more for us, and all we got to do is you don't even have to be brazen. Just be obedient.
Amen.
Obedient is better than sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's all I'm trying to tell the church is dare to trust God. If God's leading you somewhere and you're feeling that gentle tug on your thigh, follow it anywhere. If you're feeling something pushing you behind your head, God don't push anybody. He draws.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And God is drawing his people. And I mean people everywhere. We're running into them everywhere, in every denomination. You know, they're wanting more God. They're hungry.
Amen.
Makes my job a whole lot easier. I don't have to pump and prime a lot anymore at all.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because they're willing. They want more. They want everything that he has, every single thing. You know, and I saw it in this church, too. You know, the people are hungry, and the love, you know, you mentioned about God is love. And that's what draws people unto him. When you have Christ Jesus within you, the hope of glory, you know, and you're getting that hug, and you know it's not just like you said before, that little pat on the back, here, you know, I mean, because you know that there's another agenda there, but it's a hug of the Father where you feel his presence, you know, and that's been lacking, you know. I mean, like you said, they've got the agendas and the programs and everything, and we need to get back.
Jesus. You know, the book of Acts talks about Bar Jesus. It's the other Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't the one that walks on water.
Right.
This guy's trying to buy gifts.
Wow.
Gifts of calling are without repentance, but they ain't for sale either.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. What's wrong with a lot of people today, they don't want to take the time it takes to get on their face, pray, fast, seek the face of God. You can climb as high as you want to on the mountain of God. You really can. I think I told the church out there tonight. Just remember one thing. No, I told that a caller man out and ministered to him about it, and I said, you can climb as high as you want to on the mountain of God. Just remember one thing. Get anything you want from God. Hear the voice of God. Angels will minister to you. You can look into people's lives. You can do, get anything you want on that mountain of God. Just remember, the higher you climb, the more disastrous the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the fall of some of the great preachers in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had some phenomenal, they're not even hiccups or burps, you know, in the body of Christ. It just messed things up for years, you know. I can remember when evangelist was a good name until certain ministers fall. And when they fail, evangelist became a really dirty word.
Mm-hmm.
And pastors, for self-preservation, that's where it started. They broke away and said, no more. But here's the beauty of it. God's beginning to wake his people up.
Mm-hmm.
He's beginning to deal with shepherds everywhere, mm-hmm. pastors everywhere. And he's letting them know, look, come on. You know, there's not one person that in the history of mankind, from Adam and Eve to this nanosecond in time, that was perfect except one. And they crucified that man.
Mm-hmm.
We all fall short of the glory of God. We all make mistakes. We all do wrong. But the difference between the anointed ones of the end time and what has been is those people, if they ever failed, they got back up. They didn't just lay their water in it because it was easier or blah, 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 blah. And then you've got this other group of people that's been waiting for the movement, and they're shaking the dust off of themselves, standing up, reporting for duty. And then you got these shepherds out there by the groves that are starting to yell out, God, where are you? What do I have to do to find you? Where can I meet you at? What do you want me to do? I want my people perfect. The heartbeat of Solomon truly is being birthed in the land. You know, God asked Solomon, he said, what he asked of me, anything you want, three things. I'll give you any three things you name. He said, I want wisdom and knowledge and understanding to lead your people in a more perfect way.
Yeah.
And God told Solomon, said, because you didn't ask for long life, riches and gold, and the death of your enemies, said, I'm going to give you this and that. And I did a study on wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and sis, and brother, look at what he showed me. To have known knowledge, to have known, that's past tense. Mm-hmm. Wisdom, to be wise, that's future tense. But understanding, right where you stand today. And people are afraid of that. They're afraid to ask God, where am I at with you? Am I okay? Are you going to use me? Did I do wrong? Is this good or bad? They don't want to ask him why. They're comfortable. We're creatures of comfort. Mm-hmm. And people have got to come out of that comfortable state, and they got to realize that, you know what, freedom ain't free.
Mm-hmm.
And David said, I'm not going to give God anything that didn't cost me something.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, the gift will cost you something. You say, well, brother, it's not free. Well, no, it's not. Somebody shed their blood for that gift.
That's right.
I mean, if you're going to trace it back to its origin, somebody shed their blood for that. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I got a beautiful little daughter, and I love guns. I love to hunt and what have you. I own a .357 Magnum, and I'm not going to give that to her and tell her to go play with it.
Exactly.
You know, I'm going to train her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show her. I'm going to make sure she knows every safety point. You know, I love to get out and shoot skeet and what. You know, you're going to know it inside and out. Well, that's the same way with God, but He's prepared us for such an hour as this.
Yeah.
To now, He's starting to loose that power on the land. He's starting to loose people that truly are gifted, and the people of the end time revival, it's not going to be the big names.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not. It's going to be those folks that have been on their face praying in their closets, hiding under their beds because of what God showed them, but God's starting to drag them out from under the bed and kick them out in the front yard and say, speak up. You know, I mean, it's beautiful what God is doing, but I know that we have a short time to do this work, but people everywhere, I'm thankful because I'm seeing it everywhere. It got so on the pastor here the other day. Last night or night before you were here.
Yeah.
And he can't sing and he can't dance, but he tries and he does an awful good job at trying. But man, he looks like he's put together with rubber bands. I mean, just
rubber band man, huh?
Yeah. I told the church he had moves like James Brown. Every one of his moves James Brown didn't want, but he had moves like James Brown. And but he came up to me after church and he said, brother, he said, I don't know if it was for anybody else, but he said, I so have longed to be set free.
Wow.
I mean, it begets after its own kind. How can you set people free if you're not free?
Amen.
You know, how can you hope for something if you've lost all hope?
Mm.
How can wounded healers heal a lost and dying nation? How can that happen? How do you... It begets after its own kind. It's the law of creation.
Yeah.
And so the church, the bride of Christ, they have to come together. They've got to seek God for His will, not theirs, not
mm-hmm.
their program.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say that on air?
Yeah, come on.
Not their program. Yeah, not their program. Not how they think it ought to be done. But you know, we've tried everything to get something built. I think it's time that we gave Jesus a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've not been here before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, He has.
Amen.
Yeah.
the one important thing to keep a revival going is to prepare a holy habitation for him. Now, as we record this interview, we're on the fifth day of the 10 days of off because we celebrated Rosh Hashanah from Wednesday sundown through Thursday. And after Yom Kippur, we're going to have the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles symbolically speaks of that habitation. Has God shown you anything concerning that?
Yeah, I'm looking at four, five, six tabernacles. he doesn't dwell in the tents of old anymore. But if you do a breakdown on the tabernacle of old, it was a tent covered with badger hides, but the inside of it was pure gold. And I honestly believe that's where God's taking his people.
Yeah.
He's purifying us with a fire hotter than we've ever known before. A lot of people say it's economics. I think God's hand's in it from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. He's doing what that eagle does. That baby won't fly. That mama will get up there and knock the thing out of the nest. And if it don't sprout its wings, she'll swoop down and catch it on her back, take it back up there. Do that several times and it don't fly. She'll start tearing that nest apart one stick at a time till there ain't nothing left to hold it. And if he falls this time, he falls to his death. But I guarantee it sprouts wings and it does what the Creator told it to do. And that's, hey, man, you're an eagle. You're supposed to fly, soar. You know, and they that learn to wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I'm telling you, what we're doing now is when we started, yeah, we were soaring. You know, years ago, man, tent revivals, 50s, 60s, man, that was awesome. Soaring on eagle's wings. Went through a few things from eagle's wings to running. We was out running everything in the race, you know, and it was okay, but we went from soaring to running. And then we went through a few things more, and now we're hearing the cadence of God and what His orders are to up, two, three, four. You know, we're there listening now. And God is leading us and guiding us and directing us because it is, it's time. You know, this thing is not going to go on forever. And I told the church here, I said, you got to be deaf, blind, dumb, and plumb stupid as a box of rocks if you can't look outside the doors of this church and see that this world is wrapping up at a warp speed pace.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know about y'all, but I want to go to heaven. You know, I'm built for comfort, not that other stuff. And I want to take somebody with me. You know, I really do. I want to take somebody with me. And I know just the man to get it done. Get them introduced to the real Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and I don't care what your doctrine is. I really don't. Do you know Christ? Are you blood bought? Are you born again of the water and of the Spirit? If you are, great. I go to the next church. If not, man, let's get it on.
Yeah.
I love during this revival. We've seen people delivered, people healed, people filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's just been awesome. Been like 11 days or so, and
the continuous joy of the Lord.
Yes,
spreading like wildfire, like Jeff.
Amen.
Amen.
It was supposed to last 3 days.
Wow.
We're into the 11th.
Yeah.
Ooh, and it's going to continue onward.
Yeah.
I believe that. That's for sure. Well, you know, then the Lord hooked you guys up. Byron, I mean, you've been with Floyd for over 30 years, I believe,
30
right?
30 years, yeah.
Yeah. And, man, you got an awesome voice.
Oh, I appreciate it. It's not from me. I know that.
Yeah.
It's
anointed, though, from the throne room.
God, you know, you don't just get that. You know, you got to sacrifice and you got to believe and you got to change and let God have His way in your life. You know, and you got to trust Him in everything, even the things that you. A lot of times we don't feel like we trust in God for you know with all our hearts, but we need to really understand what it is to trust God with all our heart. We trust God. with a limit, but we need it. We need to
to a degree.
To a degree, mm-hmm. yeah. And we need to go ahead and just trust Him with everything we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, honey? What I really love about the Rebs, as he's affectionately known,
I call
Byron, these are men who have. They're not just talking the talk; they've walked the walk. Mm-hmm. They everything they preach, everything they sing, is something they've experienced and walked through. And Byron has such a powerful testimony. Just 3 years ago, he had that stroke, and
yeah,
you want to tell a little bit
about that. I was working for Reb. We built buses and stuff, and like not just buses. We did motor coaches for like the entertainment industry and stuff like that. And I worked with him. I learned everything with woodwork through him. And but we was out there and we was. We started our day and everything. We went and we was talking and we was planning the day for you know what we were gonna build, what we were gonna do this, and so we was walking and we went to a little table and we was gonna start talking and stuff and just like a snap, I went from where I could understand everything he was saying to. Nothing made sense.
Wow.
At all. And so I was looking at him like what a blank
like a
face.
Deer in the headlights.
Yeah. Yeah. And
the lights were on, but nobody's on.
Yeah. And so he looked at me and he says, Byron, he says, you okay? And all I could say was no. Mm-hmm. And so he asked me again. He said, are you okay? I said,
because he was clammy gray.
Yeah.
Ooh. The color was horrible.
And so I was like, I said no. And so he said, man, come on. I said, take me to the hospital. That's all I could say at the time.
All you said was hospital.
Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you know, I don't remember some of that. But some of the things that I do remember, I remember I walked where we was at in the shop, and I got into the car by myself. He drove me over to my house, and he got
every medicine bottle there. Yeah. I wanted to tell the doctor this is what's going
this
on.
What,
you know, I don't.
Because he didn't know nothing mm-hmm. of what I was
yeah.
taking. And so I went and they took us to the emergency room and everything, and I got out of the car by myself. I sat into the wheelchair and all, and they hauled me in and they had me up on the little table and stuff in the emergency room, and I was, you know, I was kind of going in and out and stuff, and I can recognize Rev. You know, I knew he was there. And so I was sitting there, and my wife was, she was at a wedding in Missouri. I was in Illinois at the time. And so she came, she drove back and everything, and Rev, it was just me and Rev that was there. And so first time I started thinking, I was like, man, what in the world is going on with me? You have no control of nothing. They asked me, they said, can you touch your nose? And I moved my arm to my right, and I could not, I could see it, but I could not touch my toe, my nose.
My nose.
And
yeah,
so
all your toes, huh?
Yeah, all my toes. And so I'm finally, I seen at the corner of my left eye, I could see my hand, and then I touched my nose. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we was out there, and I told Rev, I said, Rev, what if I can't sing anymore? Mm-hmm. What do I do? This is what I do. This is what I do for God, man. I know I could do other things and stuff like that, but this is what God has called me to do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, what do we do? What do we do? And the only thing I can think, all I could say was like, I said, Rev, pray.
Okay, now before he goes any further, let me say this. They'd already ran a field test on him, and he was dead on his left side.
Yeah.
The arm didn't move, didn't work. The leg didn't move, no feeling in it. The left side of his face had already fallen. He was in full-blown stroke mode at this time when he said, Rev, pray.
Yeah. I had, of course, it, what caused a lot of this was I have what they call atrial fib, and my top part of my heart beats, quivers, and the bottom beats right. And so that's what, you know, it causes blood clots and stuff. And what happened, blood clot went through my brain.
Right.
Wow.
And so anyway, I told Rev, I said, man, I said, pray. And so they hauled me out there and into a scanning room and stuff like that. And I can kind of remember, you know, getting off of the little table and got onto this other thing.
I'm across the hall praying.
Yeah, Rev was good. And so an hour later, they brought me back to the emergency room. My face was...
like droopy? Or
no, it was normal.
Perfect. Oh, my gosh.
Normal. I was getting... feeling in my fingers. I can touch my nose.
Wow.
I can, you know, and my feet and everything. I was starting to get my feeling back.
Now the doctor came in. This is a beautiful part of it. I don't mean to cut you off.
No.
That's awesome.
Doctor came in and he ran the field test and raked this tool on his foot and his foot jumped. And he said, reach your hand out to me. He did. He said, that'd be your left arm. He did. He said, turn palms up. He turned palms up. He just runs. Then he raked the thing in his hand, and, of course, he jerked back. Looked on his left side, and he looked at the nurse, and the doctor said, thought you said this man in completely stroke mode and dead on the left side of the face fell. And she came around the curtain. She said, he is. She looked at him with a... He didn't look like that an hour ago.
I'm telling you, man. Oh. Amazing.
So what you're saying is God answers prayer.
He answers prayer. I'm telling you. And but I started, I think it went over a span of a week. I tell you what, in maybe a couple of days, I was standing up and walking and stuff. Of course, everybody was like, oh, you know, don't fall, you know. And I was like, man, I'm good. You know, I'm ready to go. And so I'd get up and walk and stuff, you know, with no problems. And I went home a week later. And I had, you know.
The only 3 days after he got out of the hospital, he came back to work.
Yeah.
And his wife, she was executive office assistant for me, and she said, what are you going to let him do? And I said, anything he thinks he's capable of.
Yeah. I can't cut myself. But yeah, it's amazing because there was something I was trying to... Oh, okay. I could think. I can do all kinds of things. But boy, I'm saying something. Oh, my gosh. A lot of times... I know I try to say something, and I was like, but.
He was speaking in tongues.
And so, but Rev and my wife had a field day with that because they entertained them.
Yeah. We let them up.
Yeah. I still travel.
Get hung up on words.
Get hung up on words and stuff like that. Sometimes if I get excited and stuff like that, next thing you know, slow down, you know. But for a while there, I was like, I knew what I wanted to say, but just to say it, that was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so Rev told me, he says, well, hey, God don't do something halfway.
Amen. No.
You know, God has taken me so far right now. You know, I could talk. I think I can.
You're doing a great job.
But you know, I want to let people know that, you know, just because you had a stroke, you know, I mean, it don't mean that that's it. You know,
yeah, it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world.
Okay.
And God, I was thankful I'm able to sing now, still. And it's been 3 years since I didn't sing at all for like 3 years and stuff, because it was such a
stressful thing.
Yeah, but now I'm getting more comfortable and stuff. Now I started. This has been my first revival meetings that I sang at. Since the stroke.
Going to be many more.
Yes, and wait, oh, listeners, wait until you hear him sing.
Well, I want him to sing a little something right now. I'm going to pull on that.
Yes.
Amen. Just sing what's in your heart.
I can sing.
Do a little Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
If I mess up now.
Thank you.
We just praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
There is such an anointing on your voice, and I just see the Lord bringing you into a deeper well of just overflow and the power of that, you know, just lives being transformed and changed as you sing, you know, healed, made whole in Jesus' name. You know, you sang another song, excuse me, tonight, and it was about the heart.
Two in hands.
Yes. And I tell you what, Susan and I looked at each other and I'm like, whoa.
Holy Ghost
is in the house. I mean, the anointing was just so thick on that. It's powerful. And we're going to hear that at the end of the show. We're going to play that. And I just urge those that have been listening to the broadcast to purchase your CDs that you have, and where can they go ahead and get that CD? Actually, you have, how many do you have out?
I've done two. I have one that's just cassettes, but that was back in 1994, and now my last one I did, I think I did it in 2000, but I have CDs and cassettes on it.
Okay. So if they wanted to purchase the CDs and the cassettes, where can they, do they contact you, or how do you prefer?
They can contact my ministry at 217-473-3137. That's 217-473-3137.
Amen.
And I can get them hooked up with them.
Yeah, and if you know, and I know, my gosh, when we get this training center up and running, y'all gonna be coming. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're working on it now. Bless God.
Absolutely.
And you know, our heart is to minister to the sons and daughters, the apostolic prophetic training center that will encompass media, TV, radio. Outreaches and so forth, and we need the truth, that fresh breath, that power that you have, you know, and it's not about us, you know, it's about Him, and you know, with the ministry, our heart is bringing in the generals of the faith that have
absolutely
a true, unadulterated, you know, it's not tainted
come in there and speak the truth, mm-hmm. you know,
amen.
So the people are set free.
We'd be honored. We'd
absolutely.
Love to come.
Anytime you
amen.
Need me,
anything
I'll
you need.
I'll come running.
Amen. Yoo-hoo. Now, how can they get a hold of you, Rev?
Same number, 217-473-3137.
Okay.
That's my cell number. You can reach me around the world on that number. You know, it's I've found it's the easiest way there is. They're building me a website right now. The Worldwide Church of Jesus Christ
okay.
is building me a website right now. And as soon as it gets up and running, I'll make sure that you folks get it, and we'll go from there.
We'll put it on our website as a link.
Thanks.
Now, if they want to donate so into you guys, how can they just contact you on the number and your administrator will
sure.
be able to give them the...
Absolutely.
But
okay.
but I'm making it known now. I've never taken up an offering in 34 years for my ministry. Never.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's unheard of, Rev.
Well, there's too many gimmicks.
Yeah.
There's too much wrongdoing with finances, and I just don't do it. If God can't speak to the pastor when I preach somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and the pastor minister to his people, I don't want any part of it. And it's not because I have a lot of money. That's not it. it's because there's just been too much hurt. But you know, I'm not asking for that. But I would love to come and preach. We come totally on a love offering basis. We have no set, you know, free.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my ministry. Freely I have received and freely I must give. But you know, if people want to give. It does. It takes money to buy fuel for the vehicle. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As you can see, he has to eat and. If God moves on folks, I promise you, it will go into the kingdom. You know?
Absolutely.
It will go into the work of
it's
the Lord.
It's all about Christ, man. It's not about us or one ministry. It's about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's all
in
about
every ministry.
Amen.
Christ in every ministry.
Amen.
I had a lady call me the other day. I have to put a plug in for Sister Robin. She has an autistic son, and I called her when the little autistic boy had never spoke. And he got up next to his mom, and he said, "Mommy, I love you." And they said he hadn't shut up since. He's steadily learning new words and talking. So I called Sister Robin, and I told her, I said, "Hey, there's hope for your son." And she said, "Like that?" And I said, "Man, we had an autistic boy speak for the first time tonight in his life."
Mm-hmm.
And she's heading up a ministry right now, taking food and clothing and supplies to the people in the Appalachian Mountains in November. So if anybody wants to give canned goods, she needs canned goods and she needs clothing for any age group, boy or girl. And we've got people already that's given as far as they've supplied trailers, vehicles, you know, everything else has been done. So if people want to give to that, they want to sow into that. It's not going overseas, you know. We go overseas and we do work for other nations, but this is going to our own, you know. I want to do something for our own. And those people are destitute in the Appalachian Mountains, you know, where we're going. We're going to the poorest of the poor,
mm-hmm.
and we'd appreciate you. But might be somebody out there owns a grocery store. Want to give some canned goods.
Amen.
Canned vegetables is what we need more than anything else.
Amen.
Canned vegetables. So and they can get in touch with you through the same number.
For amen. Sure.
Amen.
Well, just the integrity on this ministry. You need to get involved.
This is a lot. I mean, that Byron's been with Rev for 30 years.
30 years.
Come
30
on
years
now.
This year,
you know?
30 years.
Amen.
This year.
Wow. That's
amen.
Powerful.
So
that's, right there. That's
amazing. Good ground. This
that's
is good ground,
ground.
And
mm-hmm.
you need to get involved and we just so love you guys and appreciate
you.
Your time, taking your time out of your busy schedule.
Oh, it's an honor. We appreciate
yeah.
it.
I love what the Rev said the other night. He said, "I want to be spent for Christ."
Yeah.
I love that.
He often says, "He says when I die, he said take my skin and
stretch it over a drum.
Stretch it over a drum and beat me for Jesus."
Amen. Ben, I want to mention this too, and because it touched my heart. When you called out our son Noah to pray for little Matthew, the autistic boy, and you know, I just looked over at Noah, and he was praying in the spirit, you know, and just following Matt wherever he was going. He was like laying hands on him. And then when Pastor Clarence had mentioned the next time when we were here, he said, Noah, did you know what happened, you know, with the mama, you know, and Matthew speaking. And see, all of us together praying for him and everything, but for Noah, it was really something special, you know, because he has a heart for, you know, the sick and everything. And it just, you know, afterwards we said, Noah, do you know that you were a willing vessel? When Rev called on you, you didn't hesitate. You moved right into action. You were willing, and you allowed, I mean, the Spirit of God to move through you. It was nothing you did except to be willing, and you allowed him to move. And that was powerful because children are being used today if they're willing, yeah, you know?
When I have a real need, you know who I go to for prayer? It's not spiritual giants. It's old women and little kids.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, let me tell you something about some of them grandmothers. God, we thank you for it. Bless your name, Jesus. Here, we just commit it to you. Amen. And that's the end of it. But you have no idea the faith behind it. And a little kid? A child? Daddy, do it. Thank you. Bye.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, they don't, all they know is how to trust Daddy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why it says Abba Father.
Mm-hmm.
Abba, if you trace it out, means Dad Dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Father is when you mature into that. But when you're a child, by the hand of a little child, they should be led in the end time. I believe that scripture wholeheartedly. I mean, I believe it all, but I mean, there's a lot to that scripture.
Amen. But that's something I want to say too. I mean, your son got up and right quick, he knew what to do.
Right.
So for him to know those kinds of things
comes from good stock.
That's that's
upbringing.
That's upbringing.
You know, God is not a respecter of person. And what he did for Byron, what he did for Matthew, and countless others, he'll
all
do for
them.
You, listeners. You listeners are out there, and just grab a hold. Grab a hold.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because the truth will make you free. It will make you free.
It will make you free.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Well, hey, everyone, we want to thank you so much for joining us on Upfront in the Prophetic. Bless God and amen. We've had an exciting time with you guys tonight. And I urge the listeners to get those CDs or if you got the cassette tapes, get that too. Bless your friends, your family with it, because I tell you what, there's going to be a transformation happening in your house,
amen.
That's for sure.
Amen.
And just sow into the great ministry that God has just poured down on Rev. I
amen.
Know, I get excited.
Yeah, we do. It is exciting, but we always end it with a prayer. And if
yes,
Rev, if for maybe somebody out there listening doesn't know Jesus as a Savior, they've been encouraged, or would you lead the listeners in an ending prayer for this?
I sure will be honored to. Father God, we just adopt a spirit of prayer right now. We thank you that, Father God, we have to know our limitations, and we know that it's not us but Christ in us, Father God. It's nothing about mankind. It's all about you. I'd ask of you, Father God, reach through these airways. I know that the enemy is the prince of the air, but Father God, you're Lord of it all. And we're going into his world now, capturing something for you and bringing it back to you, Father God. And Father God, I know that there's listeners out there that are hearing the sound of our voice that don't know you. They don't understand that they can be set free. They're addicts. They're addicted. They've got problems about this and problems. My problem might not be their problem. Their problem might not be mine. But it's still a problem. But I know the solution to the problem. And it's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. No matter where you're at, all you have to say is, I receive you, I confess you, and I ask you into my heart, please forgive me, and you're born again. It's that simple. It's that easy. He didn't make it simple. Man's theology made it simple. So, Father God, I'm asking you to touch the ears of each and every one under the hearing of our voice, yes. Father God. Truly, they've named it right. It is a prophetic network, Father God, doing prophetic things for you. And I'm asking you to heal them. No matter what their disease is, Father God, by your stripes we're still healed. And you're still in the healing business.
Yes.
Setting us free. You're still the Redeemer. You're all and in all. Yes. And through us all. And I thank you for it, Father God. And I ask a special blessing upon the host of this network, Father God, for asking us to come and inviting us to come and letting us share our gospel. And I ask a blessing upon everybody in this room and throughout the land. In Jesus' name we pray and commit it all.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you've enjoyed this broadcast, we'd love to hear about it. Just contact us at contactus@popham.org, and as well as contacting Rev. Floyd A. Cord. Please give him a call. Let him know how this broadcast has touched your life, as well as the beautiful voice that's anointed from the throne room, Byron Sweer. Did I say that right?
You got
Woo-hoo!
It.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ain't noticing out already. You're Cajun.
I know. It's y'all's, you know, accent that just kind of flows in. But you know what? I love saying this, that there ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop.
obvious, high above every situation, every kingdom, government.